Come here, beloved. Let's get personal. May I get personal with you? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a time when you dreamed of fame or glory or your moment of recognition? When you would sit there and say, now, if it were me, or maybe it could be me. I've been there. I've done that. I think it's a weakness of our flesh. We want to be the top. We'll talk about it today. Up close and personal. This is what I said I wanted to do with you today. We live in a body of flesh, and it is a battle, isn't it, beloved? Because our flesh dreams of and wants and desires its moment of glory. It wants power. It wants authority. It wants recognition. And this is what we see in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to the end of the chapter. We're going to look at what happened with Jesus as he left the Galilee, as he approached Jericho, as he was preparing to go up to Jerusalem. Now, when you got to Jericho, you were on your way up to Jerusalem. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. It says, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, the Jews marked Jericho as where you started up to Jerusalem. So Jesus is somewhere approaching Jericho. Now, the thing that we need to remember is in that day, there were two Jerichos. So you could come into one Jericho, then walk to the next Jericho. But in that Jericho area, you are about to go up to Jerusalem, to that holy, holy city. Now, this is near the end of Jesus' ministry. It's near the end of his last 3.5 years. And so you want to pay attention to what is happening here. You want to catch the full flavor of this event that God is giving us through Matthew, because he wants to stress several things. Let's look at it. And it says, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. Now, just imagine, he's on his way up to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way up to Jerusalem, he's not alone. It's not just the 12. There is a crowd that is following him. I mean, after all, this is the one that has done all these miracles. This is the one that has fed them by the sea several times. And so they're walking with him. And as they walk with him, what Jesus does is he takes the 12 aside by himself. He separates himself and the 12 from the crowd because he wants to tell them something very, very important. Listen to what he says. He says, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and the third day he will be raised up. Now, I want you to catch this, because I think understanding this and grasping it and seeing yourself there will help so much. Here is Jesus on his way up. He's making really his final trip to Jerusalem. And as he's going up, he gathers the 12 and he's telling them what is going to happen to him. Now, this was not the first time. Matthew tells us of other incidences. But he's saying to them, I'm going to be crucified. He's telling them that he is going to be scourged, that he is going to be whipped, that he is going to be beaten. He's telling them that he's going to die. He's telling them that he is going to be raised from the dead. Now watch what Matthew shows us. It says, they will hand him over. The Son of Man is going to be condemned to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. I am going to be mocked. I am going to be scourged. I am going to be crucified. I'm not going to just die. But there is going to be humiliation, mocking. There is going to be shame and pain, scourging. And then I'm going to be crucified, which was the most torturous death that any man could endure. And then he says, and I will, on the third day, he, the Son of Man, will be raised up. Now watch the next verse. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. I think what we see is, and Matthew wants us to see the immediacy of this, the immediacy of the fact that here is Jesus who is going to be shamed, who is going to be in great pain, who is going to die. And then immediately here's the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her two sons. And it's like she intrudes on this conversation. Her sons are there because they are part of the 12. The sons of Zebedee are James and John. And listen to what she says. It says, and then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom, Mark kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit on your right hand and on your left. He's talking about death. He's talking about humiliation. He's talking about scourging. And she is talking about the kingdom that's going to come, and she wants to make sure that her sons have their moment of glory. Many, many mothers get their moment of fame, their moment of glory through their children. Any way we can get it, we want it. And so it says, but Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able, and you is in the plural, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, and this would be, of course, James and John, we are able. In other words, listen, even in John, and he's the one that in the Gospel of John, it says, whom Jesus loved. He's the one that leaned his head on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. I mean, this is John. This is John. And at the crucifixion of Jesus, Jesus is going to give his mother into the care of John. And yet, what are they saying? We are able. We are able to drink your cup. Why? Because in essence, it seems that they want to sit at his right hand and at his left, at the hand of power, at the hand of authority. Now watch what it goes on to say, because I want you to catch the whole thing, and then we'll come back. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink. But to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by the Father. You want your moment of fame? You want your moment of glory? I want you to know, you will only get it. You will only get the right hand and left hand if the Father has deemed that you were to get the right hand and the left hand. And then it says, and hearing this, the 10 became indignant. I mean, here's 2 out of the 12, and the other 10 are really indignant. And it says, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way, it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. That's something new to think about, isn't it? I want to be great. I have these dreams of glory, these dreams of grandeur, sitting at your right hand, sitting at your left. But you're telling me that greatness doesn't come that way? Greatness comes through being a servant? Yeah, that's what Jesus says. It's so opposite of what we think, isn't it? It's so opposite. We think of our moment of recognition, our moment of glory, our moment of fame, our moment of attaining to greatness, and we dream about it secretly, and we watch a movie, and we're there, and we're in the role of the hero or the heroine or that. And he's saying, she'll be your servant. He says, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as, now listen carefully, just as, here is a term of comparison. And you don't want to miss the terms of comparison because they help you get the picture. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He said, do you know why I came? I didn't come for greatness. I didn't come for glory. I came to give my life as a ransom for many, as a payment for many. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the one who was going to go up to Jerusalem. He's the one who is going to be mocked. He's the one that is going to be scourged. He is the one that is going to be humiliated, spit upon, brought down in a sense and demeaned by the spiritual rulers that desire the glory. And we're going to see that, especially when we come to Matthew chapter 23. He is the one who is going to be crucified. He is the one that is going to be buried, but he is the one that is going to be raised from the dead. He says, greatness, greatness, here it is. In other words, it is the role of a servant. We'll talk about it more in just a minute, beloved. But think on these things. Let your flesh absorb this truth. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? This was not the first time, as I told you, that Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to die. In Matthew chapter 12, he alluded to his death in likening himself or his death and resurrection to the sign of the prophet Jonah. But he didn't make anything terribly clear until Matthew chapter 16. And I want us to look at it. Matthew chapter 16, and it's verse 21. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Now, did it pass over them like it seems to pass over them? We have no response in Matthew 20 when Jesus talks about being mocked and scourged and crucified and raised. But did it pass over the disciples' head? Did they not even hear what Jesus was saying? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, we know that Peter heard, because it said he took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it. Lord, this shall never happen to you." And remember, this is the time when Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why? Get thee behind me, Satan. Why does Satan want, in a sense, to kill Jesus, but yet wants to stop him from doing this work? Because if Jesus does not serve, if he does not give his life as a ransom for many, then you and I are lost. You and I are lost. Now, we see this talk of the crucifixion and the resurrection again in Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew 17:22, says, "While they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.'" And it says, "And they were deeply grieved." Now, have they just, in a sense, become anesthetized to this fact that Jesus is telling them again in Matthew chapter 20 that this is what's going to happen to the Son of Man? I don't know. We don't know. But we know that Matthew wants us to see something. Matthew wants us to see the contrast between the Son of Man and the Son of Adam, the sons of Adam, the sons of men, because the Son of Man is what you and I are to be. Now listen to me carefully. We were to be without sin. Jesus was without sin. When we were created in Adam, we were created without sin. But by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. So Jesus comes to demonstrate to us what it is like to walk in union and communion with the Father. And when he demonstrates this to us, one of the things he shows us is if we are to walk in union and communion with the Father, if we are not to walk according to the flesh that desires its moment of glory, then we are to walk as a servant. He says, "Those that will be great among you are to serve the others." We are to become their slaves. He says, "This is true greatness." But we miss that, don't we? We miss what true greatness is. And you and I, beloved, in this program today, need to see that you are your very greatest when you are like the Son of Man. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. So that when you lay down your life for others, you are being great. One of the things that I make it a habit to do is when I'm with someone that is taking the role of a servant, and it may be in the restroom at an airport, and there is a woman, and she's got her card, and she's cleaning our bathroom. She's cleaning the bathroom that we use. And I make it a point to stop and to thank her for her service to us and tell her how much I appreciate what she's doing and what a fine job she's doing. A servant, a waiter, someone that has come. You see, you're sitting there. But when you're sitting there and thinking, "I deserve to be served," then you're thinking the flesh. You're not thinking like the Son of Man. And so in this passage that we're looking at today, we're seeing Jesus as the Son of Man. the one who came to give his life as a ransom for many. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus said, "You're asking to sit on my right and my left. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" And they said, "We are able." Now watch what it says in verse 23. "And he said to them, 'My cup you shall drink.'" Because you're identified with me, you're going to drink my cup. My cup is a cup of suffering. And you and I need to know this, beloved, that every time we're like Jesus, suffering is going to happen. The more Christ-like you become, the more, in essence, that you are going to suffer. And he says, "My cup you shall drink." Now, I would write Acts 12, verses 1 and 2 here, because it tells about James, one of these brothers, James, being put to death by the hand of Herod. And so, yes, he did drink the cup. All the disciples suffered. John the Apostle, was immersed in a cauldron of hot oil. We believe from history that he died a martyr's death. They all died. They all suffered. And you and I need to know that God has called us to suffer. Well, when we come down to verse 29, as they were leaving Jericho, they're going up to Jerusalem, a large crowd followed them. And two men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Now, what Matthew is letting us see, he's letting us see Jesus as the Son of Man. In this passage, he's letting us see Jesus as the Son of David, the one who was going to sit on the throne. The Son of Man's going to suffer. The Son of David is going to mount the throne of David and fulfill the Davidic covenant. And here he is, Son of Man, Son of David. And what's the bridge between the two, beloved? The bridge between the two is the cross. The cross, serving God, laying down our life, putting the flesh to death. And it says, "And the crowd sternly told them to be quiet. But they cried out, and they cried out again. And they said all the more, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' And Jesus stopped and called them and said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Lord, we want our eyes to be opened.' And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him." Here they were, the lowest of the low. The blind usually became beggars. And here they were receiving their sight. Oh, beloved, when we humble ourselves, when we go to God, then you and I, in turn, become in the process of becoming like Jesus as we follow him. Those that come after him, remember, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. The day of glory is yet to come, and come it will.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, "This trip is so much fun. I learned so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together." So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying his word where it happened.
What, beloved, is your precept of life for today? Well, you've got to know that it has something to do with quelling that flesh and bringing under the harness of the Spirit those desires of glory and grandeur in your moment of fame. And you and I have to realize this, that fame comes from God. It is God who is going to determine how those thrones are set up. Now, what I want you to see is in Matthew chapter 19, in Matthew chapter 19, they had asked Jesus, Peter had already asked Jesus in verse 27, "Behold, we have left everything and we followed you. What will there be for us?" I want to know. I've made a sacrifice. What is there going to be for us? So you see that dear Peter and the others still have this fame in mind. And it says, and Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And yet, what did they want, beloved? They wanted the seats, the thrones closest to the throne. Oh, beloved, oh, beloved, may I just urge you today, may I just urge you today to ask God to remind you every time your flesh wants to sit on its throne and have the glory and have the recognition that the way to the throne is through the cross. The way to the throne is to truly follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, then you deny yourself. You take up your cross. You drink his cup. It's a cup of suffering. It's a cup of identification. And you follow him. And then you remember, as Revelation 22:12 says, "Behold, I am coming, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to their deeds." Oh, beloved, Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the Son of David. He is coming. He is the one that has authority. He's the one that can open the eyes of the blind and make them see. But he is the one that says to you, to all mankind, if you want glory, follow me. The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming the servant and dying so that we who were dead might live.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.